Pacino last year, 30-100. Those are the magic numbers on the back of the bubblegum card. Suarez drives it to left. Guido, it's Gino. Well, let's see, as Gracie pointed out on the pregame show, if they want to work into Gino Suarez, who got the tower buzz last night. There it goes, number two for Gino, and the Diamondbacks have the lead. Suarez homered in the second, his second in this series.
Not only has he homered, he's hit some long homers.
Curveball swung on, that's it, Will. Out to deep left field, that one's going to go.
Suarez hits a high fly ball. Deep left center, Crow Armstrong can't get it, it's gone. He's homered in three straight to start the year.
No, you don't have privacy. Hey, Eugenio Suarez, because I even know it's your birthday. It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
I know that song.
Is he in first place when it comes to available bats at the trade deadline? We examine here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We do the stalking segment. The stalking verb is a joke, but the intent and the internet time is very much on purpose, because as we try to figure out who's available potentially for the Cubs at this trade deadline, he comes up because he is one of the biggest bats who could be available. And there's no question that based on what he's doing, not just in his career, but relative to the rest of Major League Baseball right now, and the renaissance he has had is all worth examining on a Diamondbacks team where we're still trying to figure out, Marshall, if they're even going to be sellers because they have talent like him.
So with Eugenio Suarez, what's interesting, as you mentioned, he's 33 years old.
Today. Yay!
And he's producing at a high level. You know, he hadn't been an All-Star in 6 years. But now he's a two-time All-Star after making the All-Star team this year for the National League and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it's tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. My bad.
Oh.
I shorted him a day in his life.
So that means he's turning 34?
I can't tell if it's Thursday or Friday, because the pool party with Ozzy is throwing me off, okay? I'm going to be honest. But the point is, Eugenio Suarez has a birthday within the next 24 hours.
And he'll be 34.
All right, then. But at the same time, when you look at his stats, how about 31 home runs? You want to start there?
We can definitely start there. I think leading the league in RBI is a good thing, too. 78 of those.
The National League?
And so I think the biggest thing, the level of upgrade, because of what you're not getting offensively from the hot corner at third base, it would take this offense to another stratosphere in theory. And I think for him, he's a guy who actually has hit righties well, way better than lefties this season. But for his career, if you just start there, because we talked about the pitching, the problems the Cubs have had with left-handed pitching. Versus left-handed pitching, this man, a .255 hitter with a .355 on base, .480 slug. That's an .840 OPS in his career against left-handed pitching. That's great. That would give you someone, and we know how Craig Counsell is not opposed to moving around the lineup, someone who can bat in the 3-5 spot, or maybe 3-6, against left-handed starters.
The Cubs' struggles against lefties, we know, is established. The Cubs' struggles with the rest of Major League Baseball, relatively speaking, at third base, also established. So when you consider that, there's a big reason why he would be a wonderful fit on this team. He also has gone through a bit of a renaissance, as we've mentioned. The offensive numbers speak for themselves. But part of his success, because if you compare it to what happened in June of last year, where he was looking at a situation where he might be DFA'd. In fact, when they were playing the Philadelphia series last year, his slash line at that time was 192, 276, 308. And his manager, Torrey Lovello, suggested that he do high-intensity training. You know, like hit the acronym high-intensity interval training and more high-intensity prep overall to help him get back some of that burst he needed to return to form. And that's what happened. His last 80 games, he slashed .311, .357, .609. What a remarkable improvement. He said he put in that work in his routine. He was prepared for the game. He was ready, right? And he didn't have to wait two or three innings or two or three at-bats to get his body going. So the recovery time and the warm-up time changed. And he said after that happened, he felt like he re-unlocked his talent. So he's on an option right now for 2025. $17 million is what the Diamondbacks were able to pick up. But when I just consider his performance this year combined with him doing the work, how could you not love that as a candidate for somebody for your team?
Suarez leads all third basemen in Major League Baseball with 58 runs scored. Obviously, he leads all third basemen in RBI and home runs, 31 and 78 respectively, 31 home runs and 78 runs driven in. He also, and here's the thing, just to give you kind of a measuring stick, Jose Ramirez, he's good at third base?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He has the second best slug, Jose Ramirez does, at 506. Suarez has the best. It's 569.
Wow.
Power. Raw. Unfiltered power.
Unadulterated power.
All of it.
Well, maybe slightly adulterated because of the tense moments we saw from one Chicago White Sox in the All-Star game. Let's listen in on that.
Suarez looking.
Oh,
boy.
No.
You're going to first.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez. One of the top home run hitters in the league and one of the key trade deadline pieces, potentially.
Now this ball just gets away and rides in and catches nothing but that pinky. And that there's no way to cushion that.
Ah, and for a brief second there, we thought that all hell was going to break loose after Shane Smith accidentally, hit Eugenio Suarez in the pinky. But fortunately for Suarez, he ended up being okay. But that was the moment when I realized just how important this person's livelihood was to me, when it not just came to this segment, but how he was going to affect the entire trade deadline process,
well,
potentially.
The audible no that you heard there kind of just summed up how everyone watching that game felt seeing it. Not just because last thing you want to see is somebody get hurt in a freaking exhibition, but all the teams that are interested in his services were thinking, not another third baseman unavailable to us before we even get to the trade deadline.
But here's the problem. We still don't know if his services are even going to be available. Let's rewind to yesterday, the Foul Territory podcast. Our friends there do awesome work. And they also have a podcast called Snakes Territory. I love that for many reasons. You could be talking about a rattlesnake you find on a hike. You could be talking about something you saw at the zoo. You could be talking about baseball.
You could be talking about backstabbers, too.
Snakes Territory. In the media business, that really applies. So Snakes Territory host Jack Summers joined the Foul Territory podcast, and he had some insight because we don't even know what the team wants to do.
What general manager Mike Hazen has been talking about is how many teams they're behind and how far back are they. He's not really pegging it to a wins total. The question is are there enough games left before he has to make the decision? And it's starting to appear that there aren't. So in order for him to become an aggressive buyer, this team needs to get on a very hot run and give him the opportunity to add to the team. If he can add to the team, certainly the bullpen. He needs to pick up a couple of strong relievers to be able to sustain a run late into the season. They could probably use a left-handed DH as well. Pavin Smith got off to a hot start, then slumped for over 2 months, and now he's on the injured list with an oblique injury. So they really could use a good left-handed DH as well. But they've had, you know, a top 3, 4, 5 offense the entire year. So offense isn't the biggest need. They need pitching, and specifically bullpen.
Another team that needs pitching. Never heard that story before. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. When he talks about how many teams they have to get past to get in the playoffs, as it stands right now, the Diamondbacks are 5.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League.
I like my chances.
The problem is they would have to jump over the Reds, who are 2.5 out.
That's a
the
team
Cardinals,
you respect.
Who are, yes, I definitely respect them. The Cardinals, who are 1.5 out. The Giants, who are 0.5 game out. Oh, and the Padres, who actually are holding on to that third and final wild card spot.
The Padres have the third wild card right now.
Yeah.
That's how good the National League is. This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. We are stalking a Eugenio Suarez, who we think might be a good candidate for, well, just about everybody, but also the Cubs, here at the trade deadline.
Also in the category of what have you done for me lately? his last 23 games, this is what Eugenio Suarez has done.
Yes.
23 games, 10 home runs, 20 runs driven in, a .299 batting average, a .344 on base, a .701 slug. That's a 1.045 OPS.
That's anything over 1,000 is pretty remarkable.
It's Hall of Fame level if you can maintain it, but most people don't.
No. That's it. So the Diamondbacks right now, as you mentioned, 46 and 47. That's a big piece of this, too. Because we're also thinking about, not just for this particular segment being Suarez, but Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Josh Naylor. The Diamondbacks could really put themselves in a position to succeed for the long term if they decided to become sellers. But at the same time, they put in a lot of efforts to try to contend in a very, very, very tough NL West as well. I just appreciate what he's done with also just, let's go with the first 91, the first half, or a little bit better than the first half. 251, 325, 63 slash line, 29 home runs, 2.6 wins above replacement, that's Fangraphs. And just his second All-Star game this year for his career. You think in all those years he was with the Reds that it would have happened, but thanks to the training changes that he has made, he's put himself in this position. Let's hear from him on MLB Tonight, talking about what he did to get himself into form.
MLB Central, great show in the morning, did an amazing segment on you. I don't know if you saw it. It was Mark DeRosa and Albert Pujols. Did you see it?
No, I don't. But right, Mark, talk to me about it.
Here's video. We're showing you an image of what D-Row discovered. In April of last year, your batting stance was closed. Then in July, you opened up your stance. And then he's showing you where you're hitting now. Look at the difference in your hands. Since July of last year, you went on a torrid pace, well over 20 home runs. You were barely over 200 before that. He also showed your feet in the batter's box. And he showed that not only are you opened up to the pitcher more, but you've moved up in the batter's box.
Towards the pitcher.
You're towards the pitcher. Did D-Row nail all of this? Did he check all the boxes? Is this accurate in your new approach?
I mean, last year I thought, in the beginning of the season, I tried something to be sure to get the strikeout less strikeout in my career, because I'm the guy who strike out a lot. And I tried that, and then it doesn't work. And this game is about adjustment. So I got a conversation with our hitting coach, and they give me this little tip, and I just, you know, try so hard in the middle of the July after the All-Star break. I come in with that thing, and like you say, turns my hip into the pitcher, and to try to catch a breaking ball out from the play, you know. And and obviously I got a good resource, and I got confident on that, and I just got it natural now, you know. Like I say, this game is about adjustment, and that's what I've been doing last year and this year. I just want to keep having it, you know, not change anything, like I say.
Aw, doesn't that warm your heart? I feel like that's such wholesome content from Eugenio Suarez.
I got to tell you, I went through a lot of this audio yesterday, and I didn't know much about Eugenio Suarez other than I love when Pat Hughes says his name.
Eugenio.
And after this segment, to anyone listening, I have to dare you, now double dare you, now triple dare you, to not come away from this segment loving Eugenio Suarez.
Well, here's something that will really make them love Eugenio Suarez, as if they needed a reminder. The best thing about getting Eugenio Suarez on your team is that you don't have to see him in the batter's box against your team. Against the Cubs, he's played 132 games, right? He's hitting .266. His on-base is .349. His slug is .540. That's an .889 OPS. His 36 home runs against the Cubs, more than against any other team in Major League Baseball, of course, from all that time he spent playing in the division.
And he's coachable. Listen to how coachable he is. He's like, oh, you think that I should work out harder? Okay. Let me make these adjustments and figure out how to get better at the plate. Okay. And look what happens. He hits 4 home runs in a single game this year in his age 33-34 season. And he makes a second career All-Star game. And that's just lovely. That's wholesome for me. It heals my cold, dead heart to know that somebody puts in the work and they're that open to it, and it's paying off in these dividends. I just hate that it's not for the Cubs.
I just, when we talk about wish lists, right, at the trade deadline, as far as hitters go, how could he not be at the top of your wish list of guys who are clearly going to be rentals if you get them?
Should we listen to more Eugenio Suarez?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we listen to him after he talked about hitting four home runs in a game?
Obviously, it's awesome. You know, I never thought in my life that I'd be able to hit four home runs in a game. To be honest, it feels great. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. It's very special for me, you know, to be able to do that here in Arizona, doing for my team, doing for my family. They watch me every single day. They support me, my teammates, and that's awesome. Obviously, it's a mixed feeling right now because we wouldn't win the game, but this is baseball. That's why this game is so special, and I just want to glorify God with this. With this game today, he just gave it to me. It's a gift, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I've been working so hard, and I think that was more special for me, you know, doing it in front of all the people. Like I say, they've been cheering for me all game long since I hit that first one. I see a few fans that I cheer for me, and they say they're gonna hit more than one today. So it was awesome doing in front of them, and I see the crowd after that I hit my four homers. They were crazy, you know. It was awesome.
Aww.
Indeed. I mean, come on, man. Stop. It's the middle of the day. You can't have me out here in my feels.
Why not?
In broad daylight where other people can see me.
Man, don't you just like this guy?
We're talking about Eugenio Suarez. He's the third baseman on the Diamondbacks, but he might be the third baseman somewhere else, and there's an argument to be made he should be the next third baseman in the Chicago Cubs. Look, I'm not knocking on Matt Shaw. I haven't given up on Matt Shaw, but if your window is now, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker at the end of the season. Get whatever you need to make the strongest push you can make. That is the point here. And with Suarez, you feel like that's a guy who can get things done. We've seen it before, and I just wonder if they have the ammunition to go out and get both a top-of-the-line pitcher, and when I say top-of-the-line, I mean top-of-the-line of what's available starting pitcher, and also get an upgrade on the level of Eugenio Suarez.
I think if he is dealt, whichever team decides to go for him, you know that there's going to be a big-time reaction in the clubhouse. Like, you know, that is going to be one of those, oh, we got that dude, let's go. Like, you want to be there to see the motivation and the reaction from people like that when that kind of move occurs.
Suarez is great, man. That's just bottom line. If you're trying to win and win now and you need a right-handed bat, a power bat, few options are giving you as much power that are trade eligible or not. Guys who you know aren't moving. I mean, he's a top-tier player. At least he has been this season specifically. Again, it's been 6 years since he's been an All-Star. But he's put up good power numbers since then. And he can continue that as a member of the Cubs or whoever decides to trade for him if the Diamondbacks decide to make a move at all.
Uno mas! One more time from Eugenio Suarez. Let's hear from him after he hit his 300th home run of his career on June 20th.
This is the gift, you know. I feel so proud of myself. I've been working so hard all my career. And, you know, see that, you know, put everything on the field, try to help my team win games, and came here and doing it in front of my wife and my daughter. They came and watched me. So it's even more special, you know, and it's something that I always dream. And today the dream come true, you know. A little guy from Venezuela, Ciudad PR, hit a 300 homer right now in big leagues. That's awesome. And I feel so blessed. I feel so good and so proud of myself. And I feel so good right now. I feel so happy. I want to cry because, like you say, a year ago, like my career maybe went down for a lot of people, you know, but not for me. I never lost my belief. I always work hard. I know what I can do. And today I show up like that, you know. Now I put my name in that list and I feel blessed.
Aww. Oh, dang indeed. It. Okay, here's my plan.
Oh, you got a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan. All right, here's the thing. I have no money and I can't sign anybody or trade anybody. I have no prospects. But I have Ozzie Guillen and this pool party at Four Winds Casino. And there's a good chance that because Eugenio Suarez is Venezuelan, that I can talk to Ozzie and that Ozzie can try to do some work on the side. And so we can try to figure something out.
Are we trying to get him on the White Sox? What are you talking about?
No, Ozzie could pitch him for the Cubs. Ozzie loved Kyle Hendricks. He thought he was one of his favorite players at the time he was pitching for the Cubs. So I feel like in this case, Ozzie would be like, yeah, I want him in my city. I'll ask Ozzie. I'll see what he thinks.
Go get him, baby.
Ozzie will have a plan.
You've got the inside track. He's got the inside track. Connect your tracks.
If there's one thing we like to do, it is scheme. So I feel like Ozzie and I can scheme a plan together.
I also am
for
a plotter.
Our mythical baseball league, hanging out at Four Winds Casino. You what?
I didn't say anything. I was nodding along. I'm with you.
Mr. Burns' hands? Excellent.
I sometimes plot. Sometimes I do plot. I never lose the plot, but sometimes I plot.
I think you have to. I think every now and then you need a good scheme. But how do you not love him? You're so right, Ray. Here's more sound. Here's even more sound.
I was going through this audio yesterday, and I was like, I've never heard this guy talk, and I think he might be now one of my favorite third basemen in baseball.
I
already respected the hitting from afar, but I never got to know the guy.
I love this. I love this for us.
This is why we stalk.
Even if he's not on the team, at least you can just be happy for the dude.
I might be outside of his house with the boombox. He doesn't stop with all this wholesome content.
I know. PCA had some wholesome content. We should probably get to that this week on the show, by the way. I've decided at 1:45 we're going to get to the news that is gripping the internet today, the unwholesome content.
815, my favorite part of him is that he has hit more home runs in one game than Jazz did in the whole home run derby.
Ooh.
Man, that was rough.
Chisholm with the double, the duo, the two.
So that concludes our happy stalking segment where we all have fallen in love with Eugenio Suarez here in Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Coming up next, more football talk. We want to go around the NFC North. We miss Lewis Brown today. I know he'll make it up to us. Ben Lieber, the sideline reporter for the Vikings Radio Network. Let's see what's going on with our friend J.J. McCarthy, too, by the way. That's all next on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Jake McQuaid, the long snapper, Ryan Wright holds. This is a 29-yard field goal between the hash marks to win it. Snap spot, Romo! Yes! And the Minnesota Vikings have won 5 consecutive games at Soldier Field. The final score, 30-27.
That wasn't fun. That was the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network after they beat the Bears at Soldier Field. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. And we now go to our Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find a man who is probably pretty happy after that ending. Ben Lieber, the sideline reporter for the Vikings Radio Network, the 10-year NFL linebacker who has played for the Vikings, the Chargers, and the Rams. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Well, always a pleasure to be on. And can you guys do me a favor, Leah? Could you play that again?
Aww.
That was like music to my ears.
You know what the funniest part about it was? All the booze. Like, did you hear the booze at the beginning in the background? I mean, we could do it. You want to do it, Tyler? Let's just play it for Ben again. You're on with us. You get what you want.
I'm kidding. You don't have to do it.
I think I'm okay with it. You did request it.
I think it's a great data point of an
fine.
Era.
You know, I'll have plenty of time to rub it in.
Oh, wow. In the future, you're saying?
Well, what did PA say? That's 5 straight. So, we'll make it 6 straight on Monday night.
Why are we doing this? Training camp hasn't even started yet.
You are in midseason form, sir.
I know. I miss this, you guys. Like, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to start the trash talk.
Do you feel like J.J. McCarthy is going to be delivering wins that early in the season? That's my question.
That's all of our questions. I mean, I hope so. Everything that we've seen and heard throughout this whole offseason, and really, I mean, people forget, maybe outside the Twin Cities, people aren't really paying attention, but the work that he put in during the season last year when he was injured, I mean, it didn't go unnoticed by people inside. I mean, he was picking the defensive players' brains. He was talking to the coaches. He was always involved in the meetings. He was right there, you know, with Sam as he was going through his season. So he learned so much just this last season mentally. Now, that's all great, but you still got to go down there and, you know, on the field of play and put it all together and have the timing and understand the offense and just have it, you know, so locked down that you don't have to think about it. I mean, that's what we're all waiting for. But yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a challenge. You know, Monday night at your guys' place, everybody's excited about your team, which they should be. You guys have an awesome looking team on paper. I'm sure there's a lot of hype and excitement about the new coaches coming in and what they can potentially do. And I think we all walked away from that last game that we played you guys, and we're like, dude, Caleb's a star. I mean, he's going to be really, really good. And once he gets in the right system and gets comfortable, you better look out. So it's going to be a battle. Hopefully JJ can get his first win, though.
We're talking to Ben Lieber, the sideline reporter for the Vikings radio network here in Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. And I think there is a lot of interest, not just, of course, in the Vikings, but because JJ McCarthy is from here. You know, he went to Nazareth High School. Of course, a big Michigan man as well. We got a lot of Michigan fans here. There was always the discussion about how much of a leader he is. And I think when you talk about that work that he put in the offseason, how did you see that this past year really prepare him for what's coming up for him?
Well, from the day that he got drafted and he gets brought into the facility, I heard reports that within 24 hours, guys are willing to jump on his back and go on this ride with him. They're like, this guy's unbelievable. Like, he comes in and genuinely just shakes everybody's hand, looks them in the eye, not as like, oh, I got to do this just to put on a good face. It's like, this is who he is. He went around the building. He's like memorized and got to know everybody on the staff, even the people that you don't necessarily have to know by their first name. He's doing that. And all the players recognize that. Defensive players sort of gravitate towards him. The word I keep hearing is magnetism. And I think that's what a leader has to have. You know, you have to be this magnetic personality where people are drawn to you. Now, of course, you got to prove it on the field, but so much time is spent off the field. And, you know, for Justin Jefferson, for him, as established as he is, for him to like look at JJ now and be like, hey man, you're our guy. You're one of our leaders. Like, He's gotten, you know, sort of the seal of approval from one of the best in the league to lead this team. So, yeah, I think he has all the leadership qualities you're looking for.
Listening to you talk about JJ McCarthy and kind of what's happening, and then also Caleb Williams and understanding that there's two different paths of development going on. Who do you think is in a better situation? Obviously, JJ around the team last year, but did not play. Caleb played, but he didn't play in Ben Johnson's system.
Well, I have to say that Caleb's game experience certainly far outweighs what JJ's got. But I think the level of consistency in the continuity that McCarthy has with KOC coming in, he comes right in, and you heard guys in the draft. I mean, I think Caleb even said it during the draft.
He did. We're well aware of that.
Yeah, he's like, all the quarterbacks want to play for KOC. And so it was like an immediate match made in heaven between these two personalities. And, you know, you guys have had to deal with this whole song and dance of, does Caleb even want to be here? Well, we're on the opposite side of that. We're like, we know, like, JJ, it sounds like he wants to put roots here. Like, he and his, he's expecting a baby soon. Like, there, it sounds like he's going to be in Minnesota for a long, long time. He plans to be in Minnesota for a long time. So I think the game experience goes to Caleb, but I think the continuity that he had with this offensive system, with the head coach, and then to watch a guy like Sam Darnold, who we all know his journey, go through what he went through and be, you know, right in a sidecar with him and be a passenger to see how a professional really goes about his business day to day on a week to week basis, leading a football team. I mean, that's invaluable.
I also want to know, because there was a brief discussion, Ben, about whether or not we would see Aaron Rodgers come and be the backup in Minnesota. And I immediately thought of the Brett Favre story arc, where it was also Packers, Jets, Vikings. But the bigger question being, especially when your quarterback was hurt for all of the season last year, you think about this a little bit more, I think. But Sam Howell, Brett Rypien, are they set there when it comes to just the backup quarterback spot too?
You know, I think so. You know, all things being equal and everybody stays healthy through the preseason, yeah, I think that they're happy with that. Look, my understanding was there absolutely was a conversation that was had. It was, you know, where does Aaron feel his career is? Does he immediately want to just be penned in as the starter? Is he willing to compete? Is he willing to lose out a job and be a backup? And because KOC and Aaron have been longtime friends, I think there was that respect of like, yeah, let's pick up the phone and let's see where he's at. But I think after that, it was like, if you're not willing to compete with JJ and if you're not willing to at least be a backup at some point in time, then this is probably not the conversation we need to have. So this has always been JJ's team. Everybody knew it when he got drafted that this was eventually going to be his team. So no, I don't think there's any serious consideration that they're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers.
How do you see this division a year later now stacking up from top to bottom? Because it's been difficult for me to try to figure out who I think should be the favorites with the coaching departures for the Lions. And then, of course, the rookie quarterback that you have in Minnesota. And now we're looking at, you know, a whole new coaching regime here in Chicago. It's hard for me to order them 1 through 4 as far as expectations go.
Oh man, I'm stuck like you guys are. I mean, for everything that you just laid out, I was just like, I think you have to put the Lions, give them the respect. You know, we've seen a lot of teams. I mean, the Eagles in the most recent time lose great assistant coaches to other positions, get elevated, and then they just sort of reload on the coaching tree. So they have the players, and I think the Lions will probably do something very similar. I mean, I think you and I, not to diminish like what an offensive coordinator does, but I think we could call a pretty good game with that offense. You know, like we could probably put up 28 points in that offense. So I don't think it's going to be that difficult to find new coaches to lead that team. So I put them at top. I'm going to put the Vikings at 2. I put that as a question. I'll put the Vikings at 2. I'll put you guys at 3, and I'll put Green Bay last. There just is not a lot of like fanfare, and maybe that's for good reasons, and maybe that's the way I like it. But Green Bay just seems like they're the team that has done the least, and it's like nationally nobody's really excited about what Green Bay has to offer this year. And so maybe they like laying in the weeds, but I'll put them 4th.
Well, I think it's fair, Ben, to put the top 2 finishers in the division and 2 of the teams with the best records in the regular season in the NFC at the top there. It makes sense. You know, the biggest question mark to me is trying to figure out J.J. McCarthy's rookie season. Aside from that, you know, defensively, how do you think this team shakes up? Because when I think of the defense, I immediately think of Brian Flores first.
Yeah. Look, I think we got so much better on the inside part of our defensive line. Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave. I mean, Hargrave to me could be the biggest X factor for this defense because we know what we're going to get out of Van Ginkel and Grenard. They're going to be some, you know, pass rushing studs off the edge. They're going to be disruptive. Gink is, you know, one of the smartest players we have on defense. He's just going to make plays because he's so savvy too. But we've lacked a real presence on the inside part of that defensive line. Like we've moved guys around and we've found guys with position flexibility, but just to find a real dog in the middle, we haven't really had that. Harrison Phillips is good. He's a great run stuffer. He's a great leader, but he kind of lacks a little bit of that vertical push. So I think Hargrave's going to be excellent. Jonathan Allen, I think, is going to be excellent as well. You know, our biggest question mark is this going to be corner. You know, we just don't know what we have at corner. You know, we got, you know, a couple guys out there. We got a guy coming off, Mekhi Blackman's coming off an injury. You know, we pick up a free agent from Philadelphia that everybody's like, wait, who? Who's this? Like, I thought we were going to be like super splashy on the first day of free agency. And they're like, no, we're going to go with, you know, our fit and what we're looking for in physicality. I think our defense is going to be very, very good. And I think that's going to be across the board in our division. We have what's shaping up to be, I think, the best division in football. And, you know, I look at you guys. You guys have a scary defense. Again, how well does everybody sort of mesh into this new scheme? I don't know. But you guys on paper have a lot of studs over there.
That's a big compliment from a former NFL linebacker. Marshall Harris's face just lit up.
I can't believe he just called the Bears defense scary.
I think they have a lot of really good players. I think that they, you know, what Eberflus did. Now, I wasn't in it day to day, but, you know, I knew a couple coaches over there, and I would tell them, like, hey, listen, I know you guys' situation where you guys are. You guys might not be here next year, but you guys have built a really talented roster. And they were like, yeah, we know. Like, we just, for whatever reason, haven't put it together. And so I think that's a really hard defense to play against. Those guys fly around, and there's some really talented guys over there. Again, it comes down to, do they fit exactly what the coordinator's looking for?
Oh, see, we started out with booze and trash talk, and by the end of this, we're all building bridges.
Ben
Lever.
I'm a lover, guys. You know, okay. I want to have fun, and we can talk trash, but at the end of the day, you know, we're just having fun with it. It's sports.
All the L's.
Agreed.
Loves
agreed.
And L's. That's what we're hoping to feed you some losses this year here from Chicago, but we'll send it with love, of course.
Yeah, that's fine. Just put the loss and put a bow on it. That's fine. I mean, it's a little easier to handle if it's got a nice little red bow. Maybe throw a chocolate on there. It's fine.
Ah, warm fuzzies all around. Ben Lieber, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate it. We will bug you during training camp for sure.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, let's actually do some real trash talk before the game starts.
I'm interested. We'll workshop some things for sure.
Yeah.
I love it. Good. I'll start with mushroom as a spice in Minnesota.
I'm not, you know, we love to say if somebody's from here, like, hey, you're one of us. So it's like the tagline, like, hey, you're one of us. Well, I'm not really one of them because I didn't grow up here.
Fair.
But I agree with you. There's some really quirky, like, you can hammer Minnesotans. I will laugh along with you because they think ketchup is spicy.
Well, you're an Iowa guy, right?
Well, I'm kind of, you know, Iowa and South Dakota.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
The neighborhood.
When it's in the neighborhood, like, we're kind of Minnesota adjacent, but we, you know, we like to have our independence too. But yeah, there's so much like Nordic influence that, yes, ketchup is spicy to them. Like, there's a lot of weird things here.
All right. So to throw the Vikings off, we'll just bring in some spicy ketchup and then we'll get the party started. Ben Lieber, this has been a lot of fun. We will definitely check in with you in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. That was the very affable Ben Lieber. Just spraying all fields, that guy.
You don't even need spicy ketchup. Just regular ketchup will do.
No, that's how we sneak it in. You start with like, hey, it's just ketchup in your backpack. And sneak it in. Nothing's wrong here. Next thing you know, Skull's gone down with the spice.
I got something spicy for you.
Man, this situation, this is a story that has gone from like a simmer to a boil to a rolling boil to your pot has boiled over to your kitchen is on fire to your entire house is now just disintegrated during the time we've been on the air, has it not? It has gripped the internet. Never have I seen such outstanding internet sleuthing out of an entire group of people. We can unite on this, but we can't unite on anything else.
You're about to lose your job.
At least we figured something that brings us all together. I guess, is it proven? Is it a proven affair at this point?
I mean,
when a stadium cam goes horribly wrong, we all discuss next here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right. So if you have seen any of the following trending on social media, astronomer, Coldplay,
CEO,
Facebook, affair, then you might be able, just based on the keywords, to figure out what happened. First, you know, on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score, we told you to hide your stuff so we don't keep hearing about these Naperville Topgolf arrests. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but I'm going to tell you another state secret here, and it's not my state. It's really more other people's states, but don't act guilty. that's really what this comes down to. Number one, never, ever, ever underestimate the camera people who work at ballparks, arenas, football fields, and the like. They know all. They see all. Respect them.
The old expression was, never let them see you sweat. Never let them see you just...
Nobody thinks you're having an affair on the kiss cam if you just stand there with your arms around a woman who appears to be with you. It's when you duck out of the frame that you've admitted your guilt. Which is apparently what happened at this Coldplay concert in Boston. And the internet went to work.
They went to work quickly, but they didn't have a lead to go on until the members of the band paid attention to what they were seeing on said Jumbotron.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two. All right, come on. You're okay? Oh, what? Either they're having an affair or they're just very shy.
So when Chris Martin says either they're having an affair, and I couldn't make out the last part, but
or
that's
you're very
the most
shy.
They're just very shy.
They turned away from the camera to both try and get out of view of the camera on the Jumbotron.
I just keep watching the video over and over again.
It's so disturbing.
You done acted guilty, sir. And then that's what happened. So everybody somehow united for this. And I would like you all to remember this time where we united for, I guess, justice, and some results occurred. I would like all of us to make note of this time together. But then that's when everything started going. People started identifying people. Then you saw the initial replies. So this started last night. And I feel like I just kept merging onto a highway that just kept getting more lanes. First it was two lanes, then it was four, then it was eight, then it was 16, and somewhere I feel like I'm in the middle of like a Beijing highway that's got like 16 lanes on either side. That's what I feel like just happened here. I say that because I've been on a Beijing highway that had a ton of lanes on either side. Point being, I think it's gotten to the point now where I think we understand that, according to everybody else, the internet detectives, that this is the CEO of a company called Astronomer,
a software development firm reportedly valued at over $1 billion.
And then the woman in his arms is allegedly the head of HR.
The chief people officer.
C-suite. We got a C-suite with that one.
I wonder if they were in a suite. It's Gillette Stadium. What are the odds?
It looked like they were in a suite.
What are the odds?
My initial question is, why are you doing this so blatantly in public?
You know, the thing about this as well is, I don't know if this woman's future as a human resources officer is going to be able to go forward. Because, you know, you think of, like, for example, Ime Udoka, who got caught up in a cheating scandal. Well, he's able to get another job as a coach. But when you're the human resources person...
Let me just also point out that Ime Udoka is a man.
Well, yeah, of course. Yes, mm-hmm. This is true.
Okay, so now that that's been pointed out, then we find out that there have been adjustments to Facebook, either titles or names, on the part of the Astronomer CEO and perhaps a wife or a spouse. That was also sleuthed online.
Are you talking about like where it
like
says
the status
you're married?
Changes yeah, or yeah, something? Because yeah. Let's face it, that demo, you know, the Facebook status does make it official. Yeah. But all of this, I feel like, could have been avoided if they had just acted normal. A, don't have the affair. B, don't be so bold as to take your affair to a Coldplay concert, where C, as I told you, there's always cameras. D, don't duck once you're on camera. Just sit there normally and people would not think anything of it.
But is there a more devious thing to do? It's bad to cheat.
It's not devious. It's just blatant.
Well, this is my question. Is there a more devious thing than to take someone that you're already cheating and you're taking them to a concert where you're going to listen to love songs together? Ugh.
Does Coldplay play love songs?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, like
I've never been to a Coldplay concert. I could not identify a Coldplay song if it was played right now.
Well, Tyler played one when we came in.
Okay. I assumed as much there.
You know what my next concert is? Jeezy at Chicago Theater.
Jeezy does... wait, is that the dress-up tour where he's getting dressed up and stuff?
I don't know. I just saw he was on the marquee and I was like... That's my demo.
No, I think it's like a high class. We'll talk about that. We'll revisit this.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't buy the ticket.
No, you should. No, it's a thing. It's for the grown-ups. The grown and sexy, as they say.
Yeah, they were at the juvenile show, too. Also, do we want to get in Tyler's suggestion for movie club here?
Quickly, yes, please. Tyler Buterbaugh, please present to us your pitch for the midday movie club. Go.
All right, this is a classic. Okay, so it's called Velocipastor.
You have me at the title, to be honest, Tyler.
It's fantastic. And to give you a little idea, it's about this pastor who, whenever he sins, he turns into a T-Rex and then he fights ninjas.
Wait, so if he were the astronomer CEO, the CEO would have turned into a T-Rex at the Coldplay concert?
On the Jumbotron.
Well, I don't see why not, guys. I feel like we got a show here.
Oh, my goodness. Also, this from Adam Staszynski. Okay, turns out I won't be able to join the movie club Eurotrip segment, but please, if you can, just include this note from me on the movie. In my opinion, Eurotrip is one of the funniest and best movies ever made. The entire thing is a riot. It's nearly flawless and has incredible replay value. Cooper is a perfect character. Little, everything he says is hilarious. 20 out of 10. We'll watch again this weekend. Also, RIP Jenny, a.k.a. Michelle Trachtenberg. He had a very different take than...
It's a very studs review right there.
Also, this is a time where I remind you, caller 6 to the score contest line right now. 312-540-0670. Win a pair of tickets to see Toto with special guests Christopher Cross and Men at Work on Saturday, August 9th at Credit Union One Amphitheater in Tinley Park. Tickets available now at LiveNation.com.
All I ask is if they catch you on camera, just don't move.
Don't move.
Also, just don't do it. You could start with that, but, you know, crisis intervention. I got to go. I got to go to a pool party.
You have fun with Ozzie Guillen and convincing him that Eugenio Suarez is the answer that the Cubs need.
Done.
Do your thing. Layla, it was great to work beside you today. I'm sorry I won't be with you at Gallagher Way when it's you and Rami Makhlouf live with the people.
That's right. Come out, say hi. Also, come out, say hi to us at Four Winds, because there I actually have time to, because I'm not doing a show. So thank you very much. Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel are next.